Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity you have given us once again to share your word with your people, both those in the room as well as those that watch us regularly online. Lord, we just trust you that the words, every word that's spoken, would really indeed come from you, first of all, and not just simply be the mere opinions, thoughts, and feelings of Chris Green. Lord, I decrease that you would increase in this place. Word my mouth, Lord God. And let everything that come forth really, truly be of you. Yes, Lord God. Help me, Lord God, just to speak your word, declare it without filtering it and being concerned about who may hear it or see it and all of that. That, Lord, as you've just been adjusting me these last few weeks and months, Lord, I just stand on your word and on your promises and just trust you, Lord God, with what you give me to say. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, as you guys know, we've been talking about the wilderness journey that God allows his people to go through when he takes us out of Egypt, out of the place of bondage, out of the place of imprisonment, and starts leading us to the land of promise. And we use that word land of promise all the time, and I don't want to go into all of the history of that, but really understand the context. God had promised a particular land. He first of all had Abraham to go out in search of it. Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac gave birth to Jacob. And Jacob found himself one day actually asleep, and God gives him this vision where he sees his angels coming up and down out of heaven, and God speaks to him and says to him, this land that you're lying on, I'm giving it to you. So that's why it's called the land of promise, because it's the land that God promised Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So that's also why it's known as the land of Israel, because that's who it was promised to. Jacob was so excited about that promise that he even made God a promise. He said, God, if you do this for me, then out of everything that this land produces, I'm going to give back 10% of it to you. And even though by the time Jacob died because of the famine that came, you got to remember Jacob had those sons, including Joseph and Benjamin, and you know the story of Joseph and how they ended up having to move to Egypt, actually the land of Goshen, because of the famine that was in the land. And so Jacob didn't even die in the land that he had been promised to him. He died in Goshen, and it wasn't until 400 years later that God's people were even able to go back to that land that had been promised to them, had been promised to their forefather Jacob. Because when they began to outgrow the Egyptians, the Egyptian pharaoh was raised up who didn't know anything about Joseph or Jacob or any of that, and he enslaved them because they were afraid we call them the children of Israel, and I make the connection, the children of Jacob, the children of Israel. They thought that they were going to outgrow them, outnumber them, and even attempt to overthrow Egypt. But this pharaoh had no idea that they really weren't interested in Egypt. They was interested in getting back to the land that had been promised to them. And of course we know how God raised up Moses to get God's people out of slavery and get them back to the land of promise. But after 400 years of being in slavery, a certain mindset had set in upon them, a slavery mentality, a bondage mentality. Even having multiple generations growing up around demonic worship, demonic celebrations, demonic calendars, demonic rituals. And this wasn't just beliefs. They actually saw things happen, and they saw the demonic witchcraft and all that stuff. They saw it at work. The Egyptians didn't just simply worship these gods and not see any manifestations. They saw manifestations by the gods that these Egyptians worshiped. So it kind of developed, even within the people of God, a kind of a dependence and level of trust in what they observed because they saw it working. If your oppressors are doing something and it seems to be working for the people who are oppressing you, you have no reason to think that this stuff don't work. It's working for them, and they're our masters. So there's some power in it. So there are a lot of things that were entrenched in God's people's mindsets about the very gods that they grew up and around. So God began to dismantle their appreciation or sense of respect for these gods. You know how God sent the plagues, and each one of the plagues was one of the gods that the Egyptians trusted in. Not only was God proving something to the Egyptians that he was superior, but he was proving something to his own people. That the gods who your masters serve is not your God. Do not ever look to them to deliver you, to help you, to save you. Don't ever look to them. Yes, it seems like they got some credibility because you saw them working with snakes and serpents and they could do tricks. It actually happened. They know. They knew the story of how Moses brought the rod and it turned into a snake, but Pharaoh brought in his magicians. They threw down their rods and they turned to snakes too. They're like, hey, we can do that. But of course, we know the rod of God devoured theirs. But still, their point was, we can do that too. So God was speaking to even his own people about not trusting these gods just because they can do some things. Why am I talking like this? Because very much so in Harrisburg, the people of God have levels of respect for the gods of our oppressors. It's the reason why they come and sit in church, but they hear sermons, but it never seems to break through. And it's because I really do believe that I'm a Leo or I'm a Virgo or I'm an Aries. And so I've seen that stuff kind of work because I read it and whatever the horoscope said, it happened. So it's got to have some credibility. So this total dependence upon God thing, well, I don't know about that. You know, when I need to be looking for a job, all this fasting and praying, no, I think I need to check on my horoscope and see what it says about if whether I'm going to get a job or not. Sounds funny, but that's where many of God's people, they really are. And when they see the oppressions and the injustices that are done against blacks or whites or Latinos, the poor, the rich or whatever. Well, there's some things in the Quran that addresses that. So I think we ought to listen to Allah on a few of these things. And isn't the real point to have just a nice, peaceable life? So what's wrong if I meditate just a little and get myself calm? I know the peace. Y'all say those words, the peace of God gives you peace that surpasses our understanding. But what's wrong with a little bit of What's wrong with a little bit of that? So we do still have some dependence upon these gods that we have grown up and around because it seems like it worked. It worked for our oppressors, so why wouldn't I think it's going to work for me? I saw them making money off of it, so why can't I make money off of it? I saw them bow down and give in to and compromise and do things to get advances, so what difference does it make? I'm going to tell the people about the Lord after I make it. After I hit it big, then I'm going to tell them. In fact, people do it all the time. They stand on stages to receive their Grammys and their Oscars and their Tony Awards. And after all types of compromising behind the scenes, they stand on stage and say, I thank God for this award. So you see, I'm going to give God some credit. Why am I saying this? Because I believe that part of what's keeping our city, our people bound and oppressed or unable to get free from certain strongholds is what I'm talking about now. What's keeping them from successfully crossing the wilderness and reaching their land of promise are the things that I'm talking about now. I know that many people have preached that it's a demon, that people, when people have these oppressions and these patterns in their life and they just can't seem to break it, you know, I need deliverance, you know. I need a deliverance service, and I'm not taking anything away from that because they're obviously I know that demons exist. But I want to show you something in Scripture today that I believe is the majority of the issue for people in our city, believers in our city, why they can't seem to break the pattern. I want us to take a closer look. Why am I talking about this? Because this is part of the wilderness journey. The Lord dropped this one thought on me yesterday while I was trying to prepare my PowerPoint slides to continue with what I had always been talking about. And he said, no, I want you to talk about the stronghold. Because usually when you hear the word stronghold, we're thinking demons. And it's time for cast them out in the name of Jesus. And the Lord reminded me of some things that he exposed us to a number of years ago. And he said, teach on this tomorrow so that my people can get free from the stronghold. Very familiar passage of scripture, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 through 6 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Then he tells us how to pull down the strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Boy, the old scripture is a mouthful. Lord, help me to get this out today. Just going to give you just the brief definitions of each one of these words to help us to see what's been holding people back, what's been keeping them from successfully crossing the wilderness. That what they don't need is another deliverance service. Bible says, first of all, the weapons. Weapons just simply means a tool, something that's implemented to prepare a thing. It's an instrument. So it's just simply saying the instruments of our warfare, what we're fighting against, are not carnal. The word just simply means, most of you know these definitions, it's not fleshly. It's not natural. But here's some other definitions. You'll love this. It doesn't come from out of my animalistic appetites. I don't just fight with strong desire. I want to overcome this. I will myself to overcome this. No. Nah, you won't. No, you won't. Oh, man. But it says, but it's by pulling down strongholds. The word strongholds, the word pulling down means to demolish something, but it's demolition in a particular way. It means to dismantle, like brick by brick. I like watching every once in a while HGTV with my wife, and a lot of shows, especially ones where the people get to do demolition. And they come in with a sledgehammer and start breaking up stuff and busting things down. And a lot of times after they really hit something and busted, and like especially when like cabinets and walls, then you still got a tear. It ain't like the whole wall just comes down just because you hit it. You punch a hole in it, but you still got to tear into it and dismantle it. Why am I saying that? Because there's a lot of times many in the church have wanted to come to church, get a one blow that solves it all, deliverance from the stronghold. But he says, but our weapons are mighty in God to dismantle strongholds. So you know why God keeps having you come back to the word and come back to assemble with God's people and come back and come back? Because every time you come back, some more gets dismantled. Some more gets pulled down. Another wall gets hole punched into it and more stuff gets turned. But I want it to be all solved in one Sunday. Come to church, have the pastor preach and speak a word and spit in my face and pour oil on me and cast this thing off of me that's such a stronghold. And that's been many people's disappointment, because they came, they felt God's presence, they received what I call a measure of deliverance, meaning a brick or two got dismantled. And you feel great about that brick or two, because it's like, finally, at least I got something to happen. And they feel great. And then a couple of days later, they find themselves right back into their same old pattern and same old way of thinking and doing stuff. And they go, well, I thought I got delivered. Well, you got a brick knocked loose. Because when there's a stronghold, and the word stronghold, here's some of the words for stronghold. It's a castle. Let's just start there. A castle. So you got one block knocked off of your castle, off of the castle that has held you bound. Thank you, Lord. And then when you got through the rest of the week and you found out, oh man, there's still a whole lot left of this thing. But you couple that with sometimes people are in denominations and under teaching who tell them they're not saved if a whole lot of their castle is still up after a wall or two got knocked down. No, we're making progress. But many people got discouraged along the way. And you'll see when we get back into our journey, what part of what led to God's people even rebelling against Moses, the word of the Lord says, they became discouraged. I always thought discouragement was just an emotional feeling of being sad and disappointment. Being disappointed, but it's deeper than that. Discouragement is like lays the groundwork for rebellion. You go, discouragement? Rebellion? What? This thing, I never thought of discouragement as leading to rebellion, but that's exactly what happened to God's people in the wilderness. They got discouraged because they weren't seeing what they thought they was going to see. They weren't experiencing what they thought they were going to experience. You just think about how it was for you, but get the picture. You go from you watching all these miracles happen, and God has just dismantled the strongholds of Egypt and the demons of Egypt, the gods of Egypt, and now you didn't watch God just miraculously just deliver you. This water's parted, you walk through, and in the woo-wee, this is gonna be awesome. Everything, if you know that song. Everything is awesome. Everything. She knew where I was going with that. The Lego movie. Everything is awesome. That's what people, God's people were. Everything is awesome. And then you come to a place where there ain't no water. So they've got discouraged. They got tired of coming to no water, no food. And just think about it. Even when they did finally reach the land of promise, Moses sent over the spies, and 10 come back and say, giants in the land, we can't do this. Only 2 come back and say, it's a piece of cake, a piece of bread, we can do this. But because they was outvoted, then the people like, we can't do this. And then God said, okay, then since you said you ain't gonna do this, then I'm gonna let you all die in the wilderness and your children gonna do it. Oh, we ready now. Why am I saying that? Because in many ways, our city has been the same way. God has brought his people here in this city to the land of promise. He said, now, take it now. I'm speaking prophetically right now. God has brought his people to the brink and said, take it now. Could it be that 40 years ago, the Church of Harrisburg said, no, we can't do it? Back in the 70s. Can't do it. It's too hard, giants. So God said, okay then. I'll let your children do it. 40 years later, 2014. raised up a whole nother generation, completely different mindsets. Thank you, Lord. So stronghold is really serious. That discouragement is connected to a stronghold. That discouragement is connected to a stronghold. A mindset that always causes you to compare yourself to giants instead of always seeing God first. It's a stronghold. But the stronghold is not necessarily a demon. And I want to show you that right now. You see it in the very next verse after he says pulling down strongholds. Then he tells about how to deal with strongholds. He says casting down arguments. Arguments are reasonings. It's a reasoning. By definition, it goes like this. It's something by which a person who, the disputant, the person who's disputing, endeavors to fortify his opinion and defends it against his opponent. So a stronghold is an argument. It's an argument. God can clearly show you what his word says, but you'd rather defend your position because this is what I experience. This is what I know. In fact, how many times has the word of the Lord come and in your mind you go, yeah, but. In my case, that word won't work. A number of years ago, I sat in a meeting with several pastors and they were talking about raising some money to obtain an office for something that they wanted to do. And one pastor said, I'll give you the good response. First, one pastor who wanted to really step out in faith said, we can do that. It's not that much. All of our churches just contribute a little bit. It's not even that much. We can do that. And then the other said, well, I don't know about you, but I live in the real world. And in the real world, my congregation ain't giving like that. Argument, stronghold that says the real world is the level at which my congregation gives. That's the real world. The real world is not all that faith stuff. That's spiritual and deep. The real world is the natural. Carnal response of my people. That's the real world. Stronghold. That's what I mean. So God says in his world, in his word, our weapons, our tools are not fleshly, but they're mighty in God to pull down that castle that presents this argument. Woo! That ain't no demon, is it? No. So for years we've read this scripture and said, so I bind this spirit. No, my word of the Lord said, no, that's an argument. That ain't no demon. It's a position you and I have taken to defend the castle. Wow. Here's God trying to dismantle the castle, but you're going to stand in front of the castle and defend it. Somebody say, yes, Lord. I'm talking to myself today. I can't tell you how many times I've stood in front of my castle as the Lord tried to tell me that just because you were born in September, it does not mean you are a Virgo and your life is not controlled by the position of the stars and the moon and the sun. But in that demonic stronghold, that's where the demons come in. They can now come into your life to control your destiny, to control your decisions, to control the outcomes, because we're willing to stand there and defend the castle that God's trying to tear down. Say, yes, Lord. Now, where do the demons come in? I just told you how they'll step in. The Lord gave me this picture like this. These arguments and reasonings are lies, and these lies are like hooks that demons use to stay attached to your soul. So if you can see a little hook that's sticking into your heart or into your body, and they're attached to it and they're holding onto it by a chain, because the only way they can stay there is if that lie stays hooked into you. And to keep you from ever trying to pull the hook out, he keeps telling you, God ain't gonna do nothing. You can pray all you want. God ain't gonna move. So you don't even try to detach the hook. And then when the word of the Lord comes and exposes the lie, then we have a choice. Am I going to defend my castle? Or I'm gonna say, yes, Lord. God, I see your word. I see who you are. I see who you're trying to make me to be. I get it, God. I'm not bound by, here's a pastor, I'm not bound by whether my congregation faithfully tithes or not. All I got to do is trust you. You'll move beyond the people. I'm not going to try to defend that castle. I'm not going to stand up there and argue with you, God. And as soon as that lie gets exposed, the hook is released. Pew, gone. I know I'm being animated today, because you see the demon. Pew, he's gone. Can't even. I've always been able to depend upon you believing that lie. Notice that it didn't take somebody to come and lay hands upon you and to bind and cast out no demon. All you had to do was believe the word of God, and the enemy loses his attachment immediately. Come on, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Woo, I needed to know that. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. So in his word, as he says, casting down arguments and every high thing. I want to look at casting down. Casting down means to take down the argument. To take down the argument. To throw it down. Whatever it is that you've been, that lie you've been believing, throw it down. When truth comes, throw it down. Yes. Don't even try to reason it, because you know that demon, he's still there. He's still, you know, I'm sure you've been through it. He starts reasoning, man. You start giving you pictures of what it's going to be like when you trust God, and God going to let it all fall apart. Anybody ever been there? If you trust God, you're going to get put out on the street. If you trust God, you ain't gonna have nothing. You ain't gonna have nothing. Then he throws in some of those old wives' tales and phrases that have been said in this world over and over again. Nice guys finish last. They ain't in the word nowhere. Ain't in the word nowhere. Nice guys finish last. The Lord says, take that and throw it down. Cast it down. My Lord God. Here's a very interesting definition. It says, casting down comes in two ways. You can do it by force, and that's by throwing something down. And he says, and the other is in a nonviolent way. It says, which means to detach it. For instance, detaching something from a cross. There are certain things to us that we've been nailed to it. Here's the word of the Lord says, if we believe God, it'll be as if though we're getting detached from it, like somebody being released from a cross. Isn't that incredible? Come on, say yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I know I've struggled with this through the years. I'm like, God, how come I can't never seem to break free from this? Why do I keep falling into the same patterns over and over again? And then the Lord said, let me remind you of what my word says and what it actually meant by what it says. There's a whole lot of stuff that you're struggling with in your flesh, but it's been because you keep believing the lie and you keep standing up arguing with me when I point it out. You keep defending the castle I'm trying to tear down. I'm doing it just step out the way, cast the stuff down when I show it to you, and watch what happens. The word of the Lord doesn't even tell us when we're struggling in our flesh. The word of the Lord says, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He don't say, keep striving to try not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And after a while, when you can't do it, then go to a pastor and get the demon cast out that's causing you to lust in the flesh. No. Quit arguing with me about what I'm showing you. Don't you love when God puts it that way? Just stop fighting me over it. Throw it down. Get detached. Walk in the spirit. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That word, when he talks about arguments and every high thing that exalts itself. High thing is an elevated structure. It's a barrier, a rampart, a bulwark. Here's the thing that's so funny about that. The Lord says, not only do you fight me on it, but in your pride, you lift up and elevate a structure. Because in your pride, that's elevating. Then you get proud. You get convicted because of what I showed you. And rather than just humbling yourself, throwing it down, getting detached, you rise up in pride and elevate a bulwark and a structure. How you can't be talking about me, God. Come on, say yes. I can't tell you how many times pride done got me in trouble. Yes. Instead of just saying, yes, Lord. Yes. Well, Lord, what I meant was, we start telling God about our intentions. Well, Lord, what I meant. No. Because you love the Holy Spirit. He's like, just no. And I love that silence that the Holy Spirit does. He won't even argue back. How many of y'all know that? He won't even argue back. He just get quiet. Why you throw out all of the reasons and lift up another barrier. Here you are, you already got a castle, stronghold. Now you're gonna argue. And then raise up another barrier. Some renditions have imaginations in there, so I looked that up too. Imagination is a reckoning. It's a computation. It's a reasoning, a judgment, a decision. So it says, throw down every vain imagination, every argument, and every vain imagination. There are certain things that you have already computed in your head, and I know where this is going. How many of you have done that? I already know what this is leading up to. First, I'm going to say this, then she going to say that, then I'm going to say this, and she going to say that. So even though, Lord, you told me to go and apologize to my wife, I ain't going to do it, because if I apologize, she just going, and then I'm going. So, because then I'm computed in my head. So even though word of the Lord says that, you know, as a husband, head of the home, I'm supposed to be the first to apologize. My argument is I always have to apologize first. So I ain't saying nothing because I already know where this is going. Those vain imaginations, now combine that with the high thing, and it's all this stuff that we throw up to God when he's clearly tells us, you've got the weapons, you have the tools to dismantle the fortress. You want to know how you're going to get past that thing? Then quit arguing with me when my word comes. Quit throwing up excuses. Quit throwing up the computations and the reasonings. Quit throwing up your pride. Because we will find that the enemy's lie, that hook, the demonic influence that comes in the midst of our struggle, you will find it immediately getting detached. When we just say, yes, Lord. I know that's true because I remember when we were part of our training involved praying for people who were actually demonized, is the word that we would use, where their will had been so surrendered to the demonic that they were manifesting, whether convulsions or groaning or moaning or twisting or gyrating in the floor and all those kinds of things. But we were instructed to always ask a person, do you want? Don't just jump in, I bind this. No, do you want to be healed? Because as long as they're still arguing and defending and lifted up in pride, you can, I bind, we loose. Somebody, bind, bind, loose, loose. Come out, come out. Hold on, hold on. Come out, come out. So do all of that for hours. If that person in their spirit is still presenting arguments to defend, if they're still lifting up their imaginations and those high things against the knowledge of God, ain't nothing gonna happen. So we have always asked, do you want this? Because I don't reach that point now. Look, I ain't got time to sit up here and scream and holler at no demon for no 2 hours. And you want it. You don't want to be healed. You don't want to be delivered. There are people who are like the men who took advantage of the slave girl that was following behind Paul and his companions, who made money off of that demonic influence. There are people who make money. They do well as long as they're in that state. You can get assistance from the government. Oh yeah, Pastor Chris messing up in there now. There are some people, yes they are. They are taking full advantage of disability when it's nothing but a stronghold that they are defending because they make money. I can still get assistance from the government. So some preacher come along and to cast this out and bind and loose. No, I don't want it. Because I'm doing quite well as long as I'm in this state. We learned our lesson. We even had some folks that we helped them get off welfare. We helped them get jobs. And they went right back. Quit the jobs and went right back. Why? Because they didn't want the responsibility of going to work, getting up. Get up out the bed and go get up and work. We even helped them to get jobs, good paying jobs, not minimum wage, good paying jobs. And we have watched people go back. Why? Because they didn't want that stronghold of poverty on their life dismantled. They didn't want it dismantled. What they didn't come to church to really have people rally around them, help them get a job, help them get on their feet, get an apartment. No, what they came for was, give me another handout. Yeah, I told y'all I'm going there this year. I know it's not everybody, but there is enough that this word is necessary. And so that's why some people have ended up in demonic situations that went beyond what they ever imagined what was going to happen to them. Because you think the devil just going to play around with you and just come and visit you just a little bit so that you're off just a little bit so you can still pass the psych evaluation that says you can stay on. You can still stay on the assistance, because that's how people like to play. I'll play around with the devil long enough, a little bit, so that I can still keep my boyfriend, keep my girlfriend, keep my money coming in, keep my, but you have no idea. The devil ain't, he is way past than just your sexual gratification. He's got death lined up for you. Start fooling around with folks, everything from a sexually transmitted disease to being in the wrong place at the wrong time when the bullets start flying. And you thought, I was just kind of just wanting to have some fun. I was just trying to survive. Because you wouldn't believe it when the word of God came to you and said, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. But God, if I trust you, then how am I going to get a job? How am I going to get taken care of? How the children going to be taken care of? I got to have this man in my life because he brings the income. So I have to. And Lord, God says, you're throwing up another high thing above the knowledge of God. I will take care of you. And then all of us, many of us in the church, pastors like me, we're afraid to tell the truth because we don't want to be seen as, you're so insensitive. How insensitive of you to preach on a woman's situation like that. You don't know what she's been through, but you don't know the God I serve. Part of what has kept our city weak is because we won't lift up the standard of God. It's not a standard to say these people got to come up to this standard, and if they don't, then they're all doomed to hell. No, the standard is our God is an awesome, mighty, powerful God who, when a woman who had been kicked out, Abram kicked out his servant, Haggai, thank you. He kicked her out because his wife, Sarah, said, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. I done had a baby by you. She done had a baby by you. She's now despising me. This is not going to work. So Abraham had to put her out with her son, Ishmael. In the wilderness, nothing. Wasn't even part of the promised line. But this woman simply cried out to God. She wasn't even part of the plan. She wasn't even part of the promise, but God still heard her. And his word to her was, I provided. You understand? We all talk about Jehovah Jireh. You know, we talk about that name of the Lord, the one who sees and provides. Do you understand that? Look at the context out of which that was first revealed. Yeah. It was revealed to a woman who had been kicked out. So when I preach like this, when we talk like this, we're talking about our awesome, mighty God. We got to stop exalting the situations that people are going through above the knowledge of God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Stop trying to defend your situation. his word. He asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Stop raising up your bulwark and your barriers to his word. Nothing is too hard. So the reason why for the past 40 years, Harrisburg, you have wandered in the wilderness is because when God presents his way of escape, just as he promised, when God presents his word, you have exalted your imagination, your computations. You have exalted your past experience. You have exalted political correctness above his word, above his promise. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So he tells us to take captive those thoughts, that mental perception. Take captive that mental perception. He didn't say demon. He said take captive the thoughts, the reasonings, the evil purpose, even what you had in mind. You hear me and Carol talk about that all the time, how when God don't answer stuff the way we think he should, then we cast away his answer. But he said, take it captive. Take it captive literally means to lead it captive. Lead it. Isn't that amazing? Lead it. Just get out. Like capturing, binding them up, and just taking them right out my house. Come on. Some of you have had dogs, you know, if you put them on the leash and you're trying to get them out, and they'll pull back and drag. So that's how these thoughts are. No, come on. Mm-mm. No, come on, out. Yes, no. Yes. And he says, bring them captive to the obedience. That word means compliance, submission. Bring them into compliance. Bring your thoughts into compliance and submission to the anointed one. Yes. He said, to the Christ, to the anointed one. Bless you, Lord. So this is why you don't always need to have a demon deliverance service. I said all that to say that. And I have been a part of demon deliverance services. They are necessary because many people, they don't know. When they fail to respond to God at this point, then the enemy begins to take advantage and take more room and more room and more space. Until the next thing you know, you're bound. And even when you want to get free, now you can't. Now you do need a demon deliverance service. But still, I'm going to ask the same question. When you come to the demon deliverance service, do you want it? You ever wonder why Jesus would ask people, what do you want me to do for you? You go, ain't it obvious? Man walks up. What do you want me to do for you? Well, ain't it obvious? I can't see. God will make us say the obvious, humble ourselves, and ask. Because it gets us past this fleshly, earthly thing that say, well, you see. Can't you see? You God, you know everything. Why I got to tell you? See, he's getting at that attitude. That right there, that's what he's after. That. You see it in little kids sometimes, a little flippant little attitude. And so you just grow up and you still got it. Yes, Lord. So what we're really in need of is a pulling down of the strongholds, which comes by sitting and receiving the word of God, especially when the word of God is rightly divided. The deliverance comes by humbling ourselves and receiving. The deliverance comes by when we stop lifting up the barriers of pride, when the understanding comes. The deliverance comes when we lead captive those mental perceptions. The mental perceptions of how we thought God should do it. the way he should do it and when he should do it. When we get rid of the mental perceptions of who we think we are. Yes, Lord. And this is the reason why we're taking the time to study the Word of God. This is the reason why when we come together on these Sundays and throughout the week for those that are able to watch the videos online, that's the reason why the Word of the Lord says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And that word hearing means over and over and over, because it's dismantling and pulling down those bricks of that fortress. Yes, Lord God. And every time that word comes, it's a matter of our will, not a demon. It's a matter of our will to say, yes, Lord. What you're showing me, God, yes, that's me, Lord. That is how I respond when I get angry. Lord, you're right, Lord. That is how I respond when I get hurt. When I get my feelings hurt, Lord, yeah, you're right. That is how I respond. Lord, yeah, Lord, you're right. When I get offended, this is where I always go. Yes, you're right, Lord. When I get misunderstood, yeah, you're right, Lord. That is how I take it when I'm misunderstood. You're right. I feel His presence right now. Lord, when I get discouraged, you're right. I always fall back on this same thing. Every time I get discouraged, God, I just shut down. And you're right. You're right, God. You're right, Lord. When things happen that I don't understand, you're right, Lord. I always go back to that old stuff that I was taught in tradition. I don't believe what you're telling Pastor Chris to tell me. I don't believe it, God, because that stuff he's saying, some of the stuff Pastor Chris says, Lord, it sounds like it's way out there. So I do fall back on tradition. Whenever he says something that I ain't never heard before, yes, I do, Lord. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yes, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for helping us in this journey, so that as we come to the places of no water, as we come to the places of no food, as we come to the places when, like Moses, you told him, you took him up in the mountains and he was gone for over a month, Lord, so that when we come to those places where we can't reach our leaders, Lord, when we come to those places where waters are bitter, when we come to those places, Lord God, where we're looking right across the river and we're looking at the land of promise and all we see is giants, Lord, when we come to these places, that we will stop defending. We'll stop defending the castle, the fortress of our prison. Yes, Lord God. Thank you for this revelation, even today, even just to know that it's not always a demon, that most of the time it's not a demon. It's our thoughts. It's the way we think. Not just what we think, it's the way we think. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Yes, Lord God. Lord, my heart's been contaminated. It's been polluted through life's experience, through things that people have said and done. It's been polluted by my own shame, things that I've said and done that I regret. So, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Renew our minds, Lord God. Transform us and change us. Our hearts are open to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord today. Thank you, Lord.